Wolltest du schon immer mal nach L.A. reisen?
Hat Leonardo DiCaprio tatsächlich ein Sex-Iglo in seinem Garten?
Warum sieht Jennifer Anistons Haut mit 50 immer noch so gut aus?
Wo wohnt eigentlich Justin Bieber?
In welche Bar solltest du mit deiner besten Freundin hier in Hollywood gehen?
Wie sieht das tägliche Leben in Los Angeles für den deutschen Auswanderer aus?
Und macht Meditation, Cryotherapy und Microneedling dich wirklich zu einem besseren Menschen?
Wenn du dir schon mal eine dieser Fragen gestellt hast, dann bist du genau richtig hier bei Du und Ich in L.A. Wir stellen die Fragen, suchen die Antworten und bringen dir das Leben in Kalifornien ein Stückchen näher.
Wir wünschen euch ein wunderschönes neues Jahr. Happy New Year aus Los Angeles.
Happy New Year, frohes Neues, ihr Lieben.
Ja, wir hoffen, ihr habt gut gefeiert, auch wenn es wahrscheinlich im kleinen Rahmen war und ihr nicht knallen durftet.
Ja, das stimmt. Das vermissen wir ja eigentlich hier in L.A., weil hier ist das ja ohnehin nicht erlaubt. Aber in Deutschland ist das natürlich das Highlight. Ja? Aber wir hoffen, ihr seid trotzdem gut reingerutscht, vielleicht mit Bleigießen und Raclette.
Oh, Bleigießen, das habe ich auch schon länger nicht mehr gemacht.
Oh, ich habe das gemacht. Du, jedes Mal aus Deutschland, wenn ich in Deutschland bin, bringe ich das tatsächlich mit. Und ich habe mir doch von einer Bekannten ein Raclette geliehen und das war so schön. Das hat mich so an die alten Abende in Deutschland erinnert mit meinen Mädels damals.
Schön.
Ja.
Und Silke und ich haben uns überlegt, dass wir euch natürlich auch einen guten Start ins neue Jahr bereiten wollen. Und jetzt im Januar werden wir jede Woche einen neuen Coach oder jemand haben, der zumindest gute Ratschläge hat, wie man sein Leben wandeln kann, verbessern kann, optimieren kann. Und heute starten wir gleich mit Ryan Weiss.
Genau, mit Ryan Weiss haben wir gerade gesprochen. Der war in seinem Häuschen in Venice Beach. Ja, ein ganz toller, interessanter Typ, den Sophie nämlich schon besser kennt. Du hast nämlich schon mehrere Online-Sessions, glaube ich, mit ihm gemacht. Wie
genau.
War das?
Genau.
Wie hat er dir geholfen?
Naja, bei Ryan, seine ganze Philosophie ist, wie auch, glaube ich, schon seit längerem bewiesen ist, dass Heilung eigentlich damit beginnt, indem man seine Gefühle validiert bekommt. Ja, also dass es nicht immer darum geht, gleich einen Ratschlag zu bekommen, was wir ja immer machen, wenn uns jemand sagt, keine Ahnung, ich bin so alleine, dann antwortet die andere Person wahrscheinlich, wieso liest du denn nicht dein Buch oder guck doch mal die Netflix-Serie oder ruf mich doch einfach an, sondern die richtige Antwort müsste eigentlich sein, Mann, das kann ich so gut verstehen, das ist echt ein richtig blödes Gefühl.
So. Ne? Dass man das Gefühl des anderen validiert und versteht, also selbst wenn man es jetzt nicht nachvollziehen kann alles, aber dass man zumindest den anderen hört und jetzt nicht immer so einen Tipp parat
genau.
hat sozusagen.
Genau, aber der Mensch, glaube ich, neigt einfach, ist ja auch aus gutem Willen, ne? Also man will demjenigen ja nichts Böses, aber einfach, wenn du immer gleich einen Tipp dazu gibst oder einen Ratschlag hast, dann sprichst du halt zu einem bestimmten Punkt auch die Gefühle desjenigen ab, ne, dass man sagt, du müsstest dich eigentlich gar nicht so fühlen, du könntest dich doch auch so fühlen und einfach denjenigen mal fühlen lassen. Und dazu hat Ryan eine Sanctuary Challenge dieses Jahr ins Leben gerufen, die startet heute am 1. Januar. Und bei der Challenge geht es darum, dass man erstmal die Grundbedürfnisse sozusagen der Seele, könnte man sagen, abdeckt. Und das ist, dass man jeden Tag meditiert, jeden Tag sich bewegt, sich sauber ernährt, was auch immer das heißt, ja, clean eating, genug Wasser trinkt und ausreichend Schlaf bekommt.
Das erklärt er jetzt gleich auch ganz wunderbar und wir haben schon richtig Lust mitzumachen, oder? Wir fangen jetzt gleich mal diese Challenge an.
Genau, wir machen mit. Wir werden es auf jeden Fall auch auf unserem Instagram-Account etwas dokumentieren und hoffen, dass der eine oder andere von euch uns dabei begleitet und wir uns gegenseitig motivieren können.
Hast du eigentlich schon mal Magic Mike persönlich getroffen, Sophie?
Magic Mike?
Channing Tatum?
Magic Mike, Channing Tatum habe ich, ja, mit dem hatte ich schon mal ein Meeting zusammen, weil er nämlich einen neuen Film gedreht hat oder angefangen hat zu drehen oder drehen will, wo er, der Film ist mit Sicherheit auch noch nicht mal wahrscheinlich in Produktion. Sein Hund ist gestorben vor mehreren Jahren und als er die Diagnose bekommen hat, hat er beschlossen, mit seinem Hund zusammen einen Roadtrip zu machen, als Abschied sozusagen, und hat das Ganze dokumentiert und darüber jetzt ein Drehbuch geschrieben und das wird verfilmt. Und das hat er uns bei einer Präsentation gezeigt mit Bildern von ihm und seinem Hund im Auto und ganz, ganz rührend, ganz toll.
Ach was, das ist ja eine schöne Idee. Okay, und wie ist er so? Ist er immer noch so muskulös?
Ja, sieht super aus, super nett, aber echt so ein Kumpeltyp. Also wenn man den echt sieht, die überhaupt nicht abgehoben oder irgendwas, sondern wirklich, wo man sagt, mit dem könnte ich jetzt auch irgendwo mich an die Bar setzen und was trinken.
Ich habe ihn noch nie interviewt. Ich habe gerade an Luke Hemsworth gedacht, den schon, weil das ist ja auch so ein Schönling, ne? Aber nee, Channing Tatum noch nicht. Und ich drifte gerade ab vom Thema, aber irgendwie hängt das ja zusammen, weil nämlich seine Ex-Frau Jenna Dewan, nämlich mit unserem Ryan oder deinem Coach Ryan, befreundet ist und auch Teil der Challenge ist. Aber inwiefern, wissen wir noch nicht. Das kommt jetzt erst, wie gesagt, die Challenge fängt heute an und Ryan gibt uns jetzt viel mehr Infos. Also, bleibt dran.
Viel Spaß. Hey Ryan, it's so nice to see you.
So nice to see you too, the both of you.
Hi, welcome, welcome to Du und Ich in LA.
I'm so happy to be here with you.
This is your first German-speaking podcast?
Yeah, I don't speak German, unfortunately. I do have a lot of German in my blood, however, but I have not yet learned the language. Maybe at some point in my lifetime.
Well, there's so many great things we like to talk to you about today. But first of all, where are you? We see this really cool, cute apartment behind you.
I live in a beautiful little home, a little bungalow in Venice Beach, California. So the sun is shining and it's beautiful over here. I live like maybe 3/4 of a mile from the beach.
And I think most of our listeners are probably dreaming about living at Venice Beach. How is it to live in Venice? Can you just describe it for our listeners? Like, what's the life like?
I mean, I love it so very much. You know, between me and the ocean, there's like no tall buildings. So I feel like even though I'm not right at the ocean, I feel like I'm so close to the ocean. I love that everything's very moist. So like my vegetable garden just grows like beautifully and everything's very walkable. There's a really kind of famous street called Abbot Kinney where there's like a lot of great shopping and restaurants and when all that opens back up after the pandemic. And there's just a good vibe here, like a lot of people riding their bikes. In some ways, it feels like a small community. Like I know all my neighbors, you know, we have that quintessential, like if somebody runs out of sugar or needs eggs, like we have eggs here. We have chickens here. I have 7 chickens and we have a chicken coop.
Nice, in your garden.
Yeah, we have a chicken coop here. So like if anybody needs eggs, they come over and just take eggs from our chicken coop. And there's just such a nice, sweet, you know, people who are attracted to live near the beach often are surfers or like musicians or very creative people. And I think, you know, surfers are some of my favorite people because they spend every morning in the ocean just like being with Mother Nature. So I love Venice. And then, you know, also the beach also you know, in Los Angeles, certainly we, our governmental systems really are not doing a great job at supporting and helping, decrease homelessness. And so there's also a lot of people without homes who live here and, a lot of people who battle mental health issues and addiction issues who live here, which breaks my heart. And that's a part of it too.
Sick and I already talked in our introduction about your coaching and I spoke a little bit about the group coaching that I did with you. But now you're launching something brand new, a challenge for the new year. Can you talk about it a little bit?
Yeah, I felt really inspired coming into the end of this year to see if I could get my work. You know, I've been coaching for 11 years now, helping people with their mental health, their emotional health, helping people find ways to heal their past traumas, learned mindfulness techniques, find ways to take care of themselves better. And I recognize that, you know, my work has really been for people who can afford that work. And there's a lot of people in the world who can't afford that kind of mental health support. And that was a big inspiration for me to launch a project that I'm really passionate about called the Sanctuary Challenge, which is a free challenge. It's a 60-day commitment to self-care by committing to 5 daily self-care practices, which, Sophie, you know a lot about because it's the same practices we do in our group coaching. So we're committing for 60 days to 5 practices. 1 is a guided morning meditation. 2 is 30 minutes of exercise or moving your body. 3 is healthy eating. 4 is a ritual I call goddess time, which is something we do at the end of our work day or at the end of being a mom all day and running around and recognizing that all day we've been accumulating stress. And so goddess time is a way that we can alleviate some of that accumulated stress by getting into a bath, or if we don't have a bath, just putting our legs up a wall for 20 minutes. And then the 5th commitment is getting 8 hours of sleep. And so I'm launching this challenge totally for free, giving everyone all the tools they need, and then also helping them create small communities of accountability to support your friends and family and coworkers to move through this challenge together.
That's fantastic, Ryan. What a great way to start this new year. So where can people find you and get more information about this challenge?
Yeah, the website is thesanctuarychallenge.com. Again, that's thesanctuarychallenge.com. We're also on Instagram at thesanctuarychallenge. And you can find all the things on the website. It's super simple to read about the challenge. And then there's a very simple log. It says, take the challenge. There's a little button that says, take the challenge, that has you create a free login. And once you log in, you get access to all these tools, like this beautiful guided morning meditation that I co-created with an amazing Israeli cellist friend of mine named Hadass Kleinman. And then there's a PDF of a tracker, so you can check off all your commitments every day. And then also like a beautiful little booklet that describes the practices. And on the back end there, we're going to continue offering resources to people, like here's a 30-minute workout you can do. Here's a few recipes that can help support you bringing more healthy foods into your life. And then we're doing other fun things too, like I don't know if your listeners know or if people know about her in Germany. I imagine they do. But I grew up listening to an incredible singer-songwriter named Leanne Rimes. And Leanne wrote this, is writing with another friend of mine whose artist name is Milk, M-I-L-C-K. They are co-writing a song right now for Sanctuary that will be like a modern mantra song, where people can put it on when they're in the bathtub or where they're feeling low and down. And so I'm really working right now to create as much kind of creative ways for people to be supported in their self-care. My goal here is I want the world to slow down. I want to live in a world where everyone's moving a little bit slower and learning how to nurture themselves.
Yes, please. Slowing down sounds fabulous.
And why do you think that these 5 practices are so important or life-changing?
Yeah, as I said before, I've been doing this work for 11 years. And one thing I know is without these practices, we can talk about our problems and we can talk about our stress and we can talk about the things that aren't going well in our life. But if we don't utilize practices every day to pause and slow down and nurture ourselves, it doesn't matter how much we talk about it, we're really not going to do much healing. And so each one of these practices are a different version of taking care of ourselves and slowing down and nurturing ourselves, whether it's on a psychological or a mental level, an emotional level, or a physical level. And what I've found is that when these 5 practices work together, so your morning meditation, it's that precious moment when you first wake up in the morning where most of us are so addicted to our technology that we grab our phone and we start looking at what we have to do today and we start scrolling through social media. And then all of a sudden we're anxious and we're wondering why. And so instead of kind of giving yourself to the world or to your responsibilities, what about taking 20 minutes to give yourself to yourself and to check in with yourself? How am I today? What do I need today? let me take some deep breaths and get myself ready, centered, balanced before I begin the day. And then when it comes to exercise or moving your body, we know very well that exercise is a key essential ingredient in releasing happiness chemicals like endorphins into your system and dopamine into your system. And then we also know that your lymphatic system, which is responsible for carrying toxins out of your body, requires movement and exercise to pump those toxins out of your body. Also, one thing that exercise does is it gives us this sense of accomplishment. Like, oh, I did something great for myself. I got a sweat on. I'm doing something great for myself. When it comes to healthy eating, we know, I mean, it's very clear to understand that if we eat more foods that come from the earth, right? The earth is intelligent. The earth has wisdom. The earth gives us everything we need. But we live in a society and a culture where more and more our food is so separated from where it comes. And then we're lacking nutrients. And our cells, our mitochondria, our system needs healthy nutrients in order to function how we want to function. When it comes to goddess time, which is my favorite one, all of us are spending every day doing our work, working hard. And as we're doing that, we are absolutely accumulating stress. And one of the things that happens in our bodies is we accumulate this stress day by day by day by day. And then we bring that stress into tomorrow and into the next day. And we wonder why we're so tired all the time. We wonder why we're riddled with health issues. We wonder why we don't want to get out of bed in the morning. And it's because we've become these living, walking, breathing stress machines. And so goddess time is all about recognizing being human is stressful. There's nothing negative about saying that. It's just the truth. Living life, we experience stress. And so goddess time is an opportunity to give the body, you know, the fascinating thing about our bodies is that they know how to heal, right? So if you cut your arm, you could watch as it bleeds, and then over the next couple of days, it scabs, and then the next couple of days, it goes away. I didn't have to tell that cut how to heal. My body knows how to heal. And our psyche is the same way. Our psychological life and our emotional life are the same way. If we give ourselves space to slow down, we have a natural intelligence in our body that knows how to heal. And so getting into the bath every day or turning everything off and putting your feet up the wall is just an opportunity to say to your body, I love you. You matter to me. Here's some space and some time for you to heal. And then I'm sure we know about the fifth one, sleep. When we sleep, that's when all of the healing in our body happens. That's when our digestive system is healing. That's when our brain is healing. That's when our cells are healing. And so I hope what you can see from this description is when you have these five things all together, they create a really beautiful network of healing. And I think probably if your listeners are anything like the people that I know in the world, most people don't even do one of those things a day. And I'm suggesting that we need all five. And when we do all five, which by the way, it's called the Sanctuary Challenge, right? It's not called the Sanctuary, this is so easy, you're going to be great at it. Right? It's called the Sanctuary Challenge because the way we live in the world as humans today, it's really challenging for us to find a sense of inner sanctuary, but it's there. And when we commit to these five practices for a long period of time, which is why I'm suggesting that the challenge is 60 days, what we start to find is, oh, things get a little bit easier. I'm a little bit more calm. I have more access to creative thinking, to solution-oriented thinking. I don't feel so heavy and exhausted all the time. And then I can start showing up to life in a bigger way. And then there's also something very spiritual about reconnecting ourselves to nature and to our nature. I personally believe every human life is a miracle. And we've become so disconnected from who we really are. And when we really connect by slowing down, we start to realize, oh, life supports me. Life loves me. Everything doesn't have to be so hard. Things can happen in a more natural flow and rhythm, but it's up to me to do the practices to connect myself to that energy. So it's much like if you have a lamp in your bedroom and you're trying to turn on the lamp and it's not turning on, probably the first thing you check is to see, is it plugged in? And we have become like human beings that are not plugged in. And we're wondering why that we're not turning on. It's because we're not plugging ourselves into our electrical source. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah. And like you said, we are aware of these things. And sometimes we do want to make changes, but it's so hard. So it's really wonderful that you can take us and maybe some of our listeners onto that journey. I definitely look forward to it. Sophie has been raving about these sessions she took with you. And speaking of sleep, a lot of time we overthink at bedtime. We can't fall asleep. We can't shut our brain off. What do you recommend?
Yeah. So one thing, I'm going to offer two things. One thing has nothing to do with sleep, which is if you are meditating during the day, and if you are doing that goddess time during the day, those practices are going to wash away some of that stress and anxiety that keeps you up at night, right? So one of the things we know about the body is that the body has to offload a certain amount of stress before it can fall asleep at night. So if you've ever been in bed with somebody and they get that like thing where they start like kicking or shaking, have you ever experienced that?
Yes.
Right? They like jolt themselves awake. That physically is the body trying to offload stress, right? So the body has to offload a certain amount of stress before it can fall asleep. If you think about it practically and you think about the evolution of the human species, we were in very stressful circumstances, right? We didn't have shelter. We didn't have locks on our doors. We didn't have air conditioning and heating. And so if the body thought that there was a predator, it wasn't going to fall asleep. That would not be a smart thing to do. Here we are today, and our bodies have that same level of stress and anxiety. The body's not going to fall asleep until we do something to offload some of that stress and anxiety. And so good sleep starts during the day. That's the first thing.
Yeah, interesting.
The second thing is if you're doing those practices during the day and then at night you notice that your head is thinking, one thing I recommend that's very, very simple is to do a very simple breathing technique where you inhale for a count of four and then you exhale for a count of four. And that's it. So you use your breath to have your body do something. And you count in your mind, just quietly to yourself, to give your mind something to think about other than all those thoughts. What you'll notice is as you start doing this breath and as you start counting, your mind's going to go pretty quickly back to that thinking. And then you just want to go, oh, I'm thinking again. Come back to the counting. The mind is like an untrained puppy dog. It wants someone to train it. But until it gets the training, you know what puppy dogs are like before they're trained. They're crazy. They're all over the place. They're peeing everywhere. They're ripping stuff up. They want a human. They want or an adult dog who's going to train them to focus their energy. Our minds want that too. It's just we have to give it to them.
Yeah. We will try that. So we will count. We will not count sheeps anymore. But we will count to four and breathe in and breathe out. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, 2020 has been probably for everyone a very challenging year, and for some in a good way, for some in a bad way. But were there any common themes that you saw with your clients, like anything that kept coming up in almost every conversation?
Anxiety. Through the roof, anxiety. So much uncertainty about the future. Worries about people's health with a pandemic, lots of people being furloughed or losing their jobs. There's this general sense of anxiety. Also, in our country at least, this political unrest over this past year or 4 years, there's been so much uncertainty. And so everyone's really triggered right now. And so what I've really been focusing all my work on, and Sophie, you know this too, is when we're anxious, I've found that when we're anxious, the anxiety or the presence of the anxiety means that emotions are arising, emotions are coming up that we don't want to feel. So some fear is arising, some sadness is arising, maybe some past trauma, pain is coming up. And we are so societally trained not to feel our feelings and instead to think about what's happening, right? Oh God, what's going to happen? Am I going to make my rent? Or why did he say that to me? Are they going to call me back? Or we're so trained to think about our thoughts when meanwhile, there's these deep emotions that are coming up inside of us that need our attention and need us to start learning how to feel them. And that's a whole other longer conversation that we could get into at some point.
Yeah, but I think anxiety is really, you know, I mean, we felt it as well, you know, us personally and all of our friends, because it just has been so challenging.
Yeah. You know, to the people who are overwhelmed with anxiety or feeling really lost and stuck, I don't have big inspiring words for you other than to say, I understand. Life is hard and life is challenging. And life has a lot of painful experiences that are a part of being a human being. And so I wish I could snap my fingers and for us to all just be happy all the time. But that's just not the reality of being human. And I think the most important thing to say here is that's not a problem. It's okay that life is hard. It's okay that life is challenging. It's okay that we feel stuck and lost. It's very, very human. And what I want to say to people is you're not alone. I've had many days where I did not want to get out of bed in the morning. I've had many days when I felt alone and unattractive and stuck. I've had many days in my career where I felt like, does what I do really matter? This is all a part of being human. And so mine is not the style of you can do it, keep going. Like that's not that, while that's all beautiful and that's all true, I want to connect with people to say, I'm sorry, you're hurting. And even though you're hurting, you're still loved. I mean, every morning we wake up and somehow we're breathing. Somehow, some intelligence feeds us this breath. Somehow, some intelligence creates a physical world where trees exhale oxygen and we inhale it. Somehow, this earth was created to grow food, that somehow we have teeth in our mouth that can macerate that food, and then we have a stomach in our body that can digest that food and send that energy to our cells so that we can move and create and dance. And somehow there's a sun in the sky that warms our bodies, right? Somehow we have eyes in our head that we can see the other beauty in nature and in each other. And so no matter how bad it is for you right now, there's still so much to be grateful for. We didn't have to ask for any of what I just said. And sometimes when we think about gratitude, I think we think, well, I could only be grateful if I had more money or if I had more success or if I had the ring on my finger or if I had the house. And it's like, to me, those things are great, but they pale in comparison to the miracle that is simply being alive. And far too often we forget. We take it for granted that we're in a body with billions of cells. We take it for granted that we're breathing. We take it for granted that we can digest food. I mean, these are amazing things to witness. And if you need a reminder, just go look at a baby. Look at the way a baby looks at the earth before they learn that a bird is a bird. And they just see this thing flying in the sky with wonderment and amazement in their eyes. Like, there's so much to be grateful for here. And I think a big issue that human beings have is we forget to pay attention.
Yeah. And I think you're also a big fan of grounding, right? And I think, I mean, obviously most of our listeners don't have the beach right in front of their house. Is there anything that you think people should do who, you know, like if they don't have necessarily access to so much nature?
Get access to nature. You know, I mean, it's so important that we...
Like a small park, like in the city, like you think, yeah.
Yeah.
Just find a tree.
Yeah, find a tree, find some dirt, like find some grass, take your shoes off and just be there. Like, we come from nature. Nature is us. And every time we put more concrete on the earth, we separate ourselves from our own intelligence. We have to spend time in as much nature as possible.
Yeah, that's true.
Nice. And do you mind if we ask you what your biggest challenge was? Is there anything, a moment, a big moment that changed your life?
Oh, yeah. If I go back to when I was 16 years old, my best friend at the time invited me to go to a dance class with her. It was my first dance class that I had ever taken. And I walked into this dance studio not knowing what to expect. And there was a live drummer who started playing during the warm-up. And the teacher started moving in the front of the class and we were following her. And it was as if my body knew exactly what to do. And it was like a pretty advanced level class. And something happened in that moment where I realized that I was a dancer and that I was meant to do this, that there was something like an assignment, like clicked in. And then, by the way, 3 years later, I was in Wicked on Broadway as a dancer, singer. So like it was clearly an assignment. Like it was something that I was very good at. And I think that's the moment that comes up for me, because before that moment, I thought I'm going to be like a geneticist or a marine biologist. I was really into biology. I was really into aquatic life and marine species. And I was kind of the dork kid that when my friends went to sports camp, I went to marine biology camp. And so that's what I thought I was going to do. And then I stepped into this dance creative arts world. And I don't know, I just, it showed me a piece of me that I didn't know existed. And it kind of became like my church, my temple. It's where I found myself. It's where I found a community that was very similar to me. It's where I found my heart. It's where I found my inspiration. That was a very pivotal moment for me.
Oh, that's so great. How did you land that role on Broadway right away? I mean, you said just 3 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite an experience. I ended up going to college at a conservatory for musical theater. And my sophomore year, I went to an open call for a musical that actually I know you have in Germany called Wicked. And I went into an open call, like an open audition. And 5 hours later, I booked the show in the room. They offered me the job in the room. And wow. It was a really big challenge from that point on. I was what's called a swing, which is someone who has to learn a bunch of the different roles. And so I went on for like a different role every show, pretty much. And it was, I grew up really fast. It was a lot of responsibility, a lot of pressure, but a lot of fun too.
And now you're just dancing in your little bungalow and on the beach.
Every day.
For all your clients and fans.
Every day. I actually do try to dance every day.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that helps. Movement, like you said in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So needed.
We saw that the lovely Jenna Dewan, I don't know if I'll pronounce her correctly, Jenna Dewan?
Dewan.
Mm-hmm. Dewan is following you because I'm following her. So I saw that.
We met through mutual friends and she's actually, it's not announced yet, so I won't say what it is, but we're going to do a really sweet, cool project for the Sanctuary Challenge together. By the time actually this podcast comes out, it should be out. Yeah, she's just an incredible person. I feel very blessed to have a lot of friends who, like Jenna, are beautiful public figures who also care so much about supporting the world of mental health and access to mental health and just being a loving presence in the world and using the platforms that they have for good.
Yeah. And it just made me think of her when you said you're a dancer, because she's just an amazing dancer. And I'm totally sure a lot of our German listeners know her, not only because she's Channing Tatum's ex, but also because of her own movies. And her book is called, I think it was out 2019, Gracefully You, Finding Beauty and Balance in the Everyday.
I have her book here. It's so gorgeous. I highly, highly recommend it. And we're just sweet friends.
That's lovely. So we can't wait for you to team up.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
And, oh my God, I could talk to y'all for forever. And thank you for sharing about my work with your people and Germany. And I hope to be out there one day.
You know, because we always get asked so many times about these things, because meditation, I mean, in LA, right, it's the Mecca basically for it.
Yeah.
But in Germany, it's people, I don't even know if we have meditation centers like the Den and all this in Germany by now. I mean, it's still a new thing or an upcoming thing. So giving people the access to a challenge where they actually get a guided meditation, you know, because I think most of the people are also nervous. They don't know if they're good at meditating, you know, how to do it, how to start. Yeah. So to have this challenge, do it with a bunch of other people, I think it's a great opportunity and a great way to start 2021.
Yeah. What did you learn from Ryan? What did you take home with you that you every day?
Well, I didn't even only learn thing. I also made 5 new friends, which is really,
yeah.
I told you, Ryan, we're still in touch and everything. So yeah, these group coach classes, I don't know if you still do them, but if, then I also highly recommend for everybody to sign up to them.
Yeah, I do. I just do them once we have 6 people ready to go, we just start a new group.
Yes.
But for your German listeners, you will have to be, well, I guess in order to listen to this, you have to be a solid English speaker, which I'm actually, most Germans are.
Yeah. I mean, our listeners, I think, yeah, they understand what we say. I hope so.
Yeah.
So we will write your website into our show notes so everyone can sign up and maybe see you on video as well, because you're lovely to look at, Ryan. So nice to see you.
Oh, likewise, you two. Likewise. Thank you for having me. I hope you have a beautiful rest of your day. Happy New Year to everybody. Yes. May 2021 be filled with all the love that all of us are so constantly giving to the world. May we all receive it. And may this new year bring us closer together and recognize that we're all on each other's team.
Yes. Thank you. Beautiful words. Thank you.
Yes. Danke schön, Ryan.
Thank you. All right. See you soon. Bye.
Bye. Und Silke, wirst du es durchziehen?
Ja, Logo, kennst mich doch.
Ja, 60 Tage.
Du, solange ich keinen Job habe, mache ich es immer. Ansonsten.
Aber gerade dann musst du es ja machen.
Ich weiß, genau. Es geht alles um ein bisschen Balance. Also wir hoffen, ihr macht mit. Wir sind gespannt. Taggt uns auch gerne.
Ja,
und nächste unbedingt. Woche geht es schon weiter mit was anderem Spannenden, beziehungsweise ein bisschen beängstigend auch vielleicht. Wie
vielleicht, ja. Wir erfahren, wie die Sterne 2021 für uns stehen, von dem weltbekannten Astrologen Gal Sasson.
Der hier in L.A. lebt.
Mhm. Und schauen wir mal, was er so zu sagen hat. Ob wir noch meditieren müssen oder ob jetzt der absolute Weltverfall kommt und die Alien landen.
Genau, oh Mann, das, da denke ich jetzt gerade beim Thema Astrologie, denke ich gerade an Megan Fox. Die hat mich nämlich beim Interview direkt nach meinem Sternzeichen gefragt.
Und wenn es nicht das Richtige gewesen wäre, wäre sie gegangen?
Bestimmt.
Krebs, nee. Tschüss.
Nee, dann ging es noch weiter. Ja, genau, nee, da hat sie dann auch nach meinem Mondzeichen gefragt. Und dann hat sie angefangen zu sagen, welcher Mann für mich gut wäre. Ja. Ja, und dann musste ich aber ganz schnell wieder das Thema wechseln, weil sonst wäre der Sender, glaube ich, sauer gewesen, dass es nur um mich ging.
Ja, aber darum geht es bei Gal eher nicht. Er ist nicht so derjenige, der jetzt viel Relationship-Advice gibt oder so welche Sachen. Sogar wahrscheinlich sagen wird, dass er das Sternzeichen seines Partners nicht nachschauen wird. Es geht eher wirklich darum, wie dieses Jahr verlaufen wird.
Genau, also es gibt jetzt kein Sternen-Kauderwelsch oder so, sondern wirklich, wir wollen einfach mal hören, ob es genauso chaotisch wird wie letztes Jahr oder nicht. Und ein schwarzer Kater ist auch dabei. Ach nee, aber den könnt ihr auch nicht sehen. Okay.
Und ihr erfahrt, was eure Hausnummer über euer Leben aussagt.
Oh ja, stimmt.
Also, einschalten. Ja.
Schönen Abend.